is Black Tatted, from New Orleans, Louisiana, CEO of Black Smoke.
It's Kellen, and today on Diversified Game, it's no clickbait. If you Google this brother's name, when they talk about millions, this ain't one of them shows where we just throw out numbers, but I'm willing to Google it and see that his business has done very well. That wasn't the shocking part to me. The part to me he's going to explain to me is how there's no nicotine, no tobacco, and how folks are getting high off fruit like we in the jungle in Cameroon or Congo. That's the part. I got Black Tatted on here, Black Smoke. You guys make sure you check that out, Google it. I'm gonna get the game for you, but take your pen, your pad, and make sure you share this game with somebody. My bruv, I gotta ask you, welcome to the show, but I gotta ask you, tobacco, no nicotine, no THC. I didn't see that on there. No THC. So for the folks, because I just came back from New Orleans. I was at the Troubadour with my family. We had three rooms up in that piece, man. And I had to ask my people, man, do I need to say stop the cap? Because what are people smoking? What is it, a high? Give me the game, please.
No, it's not a high. It's actually just like more so for fixation, you know? A lot of people just do it just to do it, like just need something to their mouth, they need something in their hand, just need something to pass time. And doing that and vaping was also, you're using it for fixation, but you also getting addicted to the nicotine and being affected by the results of the nicotine and tobacco. You're having the stomach aches, you're having the headaches, and you're having things like that. So I literally created a fruit shisha first of literally fruit. When you think about being healthy, the first thing we think about is vegetables or fruit. When we call ourselves being on a diet, right? Well, I know vegetables wasn't even an option. Don't nobody want to smoke no lettuce. So, but then fruit is already incorporated into hookah. You got to think about it. You put shisha inside of a fruit head to smoke a hookah, inside of a grapefruit, inside of an orange, inside of a pineapple. So it already had that little connection there. So I knew it was a way to figure out and make it work. And that's where it all started from. So literally, I created a fruit shisha that's literally fruit. Like when you smoking my strawberry fruit shisha, you literally see strawberries in there. The orange, you literally see orange. So when I incorporated that, I literally took that same fruit juice that I made from the shisha and put it inside of the hookah pen into a pen to be able to take the shisha on the go. So I started with the shisha. The pens came as a second result.
Okay, and I'm from Oakland, just so you know. I live here in South Florida. I've lived on all the coast and in the central. So some of the things when you tell me, my mind goes Oakland left, right? And I'm like, West Coast. You say, okay, man, they just need something to their mouth. I'm like, ladies, man, that's why we here. You know, so that's why we're here. And then when you talk about nobody want to smoke on no vegetable, you know, hey, they want that broccoli, you know, out in the West. So, tell us, like, you're smoking the fruit and you're getting, I had to inhale it like I really had some, y'all. You're taking it in and it's just, is it just something to do? Is there any body high or any mind, anything?
It's just something to do. Like, it's literally, it gives you no high, nothing. So it's just that the fact that you're doing it already with the bad stuff, you're just doing it now and being able to just enjoy the flavor. It's actually a great taste. It's a sweet taste. It tastes better than the other stuff without the harmful chemicals, such as like the nicotine, tobacco, a lot of other things like that. And actually, like, yeah, you get no kind of high off it. It's not about to make you intensify your alcohol. It's not about to give you nothing like that. It just, look, I got one right here, just like a puff and a go. Completely like a healthier alternative to what you already do, you know?
Okay, let me PR this real quick, because I might just be too old to understand. It's something to do. And so it also sounds like it might be able to like wean you off if you are used to smoking, you can kind of get weaned off.
So many people, so many like reviews and stories and testimonies all over the world where people just use these instead of, so many people have literally said they have not been able to get off of cigarettes for 20, 25 years, but now they use Black Smoke and they literally still get the cure the habit of that fixation, but literally not smoking that nicotine tobacco no more. So that's why people buy packs and bundles and stuff like of the Black Smoke. It's crazy. Like, literally so many people don't even smoke cigarette no more. And a lot of people has even been using it which I've been finding since I've been hearing stories, it's more complicated for people that's been using it to try to get off of marijuana, because they literally smoke marijuana, not just to do something. They literally like the high feeling, but just some people that are literally trying to fight the urge, they're using this and it's helping them a lot, but at least they can be able to smoke something and see something without feeling something, if that makes sense.
Okay, it's trying to make sense to me, but I am from like 40, man, that 84, 80 fin era. So I'm like, you know, if it ain't no high, it don't, you know, does it give you any stamina? Maybe it's a bedroom thing.
I remember, but not everybody have that craving to feel high. You know, not everybody want to feel high. Not everybody, that's not what everybody's ultimate goal is. Some people just do things for hobby. Some people just do things to feel good, because even when you smoking hookah, like, per se, you're not feeling high when you smoke the hookah with the nicotine and tobacco. It's not a high feeling you get. It's just the addictiveness of you always feeling like you need to smoke hookah because you're addicted to the nicotine. Hookah doesn't ever give you a high because there's no kind of marijuana, THC, or nothing like that in hookah. It's just nicotine and tobacco. It's just the addictiveness. It's not a highness. So you're basically doing the same thing, getting the same result, just without, you know, the nicotine and the tobacco. So, you know, the people that smoke hookah doesn't smoke hookah to get high, because a hookah doesn't get you high anyway. That's marijuana. You know what I'm saying? So for the hookah haze, it's not a difference.
Yeah. You know, and that hookah again, and we're going to get into the smoke part. You guys, I know you're going to say, but the smoke can't be healthy. We'll get into that in a second. But I just want to get, like, this could really be something. I worked for like a decade, especially when I was at the Harvard of the South, me and my wife, Grambling State University. When we were there, I worked with kids who were addicted at 13, right, to smoke. And so for them and kids in rehab, that you could possibly give this to them so their mind can get out of, well, if I'm just so used to having something, let me trick my mind and then wean myself off like that. Man, we talking millions already. You might have billions if those organizations allow that type of, you know, your device. Can you talk, can you tell the people the smoke part? For those who say, you know what, maybe they do feel something. Maybe they've tricked their mind, they do feel something. Is there an edible of this? You know, maybe those are addicted to edibles. Is there anything like that later down the line coming where they can get that vegetable or that fruit?
Yeah, without giving up too much, it's literally, you know, I'm never not working in so many things, because I want to be able to cater to everybody, and I want to be able to give anybody hope. Like, no matter what you're addicted to, what you're used to, what you have been smoking, I want to be able to be a healthy alternative for everybody involved. So it's a lot of different things that I'm truly, truly working on. But like for the time being, like, I'm very, very pleased with the fact that the healthy alternative have been literally working miracles in people's life. Like, I've affected so many people. Like, think about it. Like, I have literally sold over 1 million hookah pens within the last year. So it's really, really, really a thing. It's really powerful. And I feel like the brain is bigger than me. It's really, like, almost in a sense that I feel like I'm on a mission, and I'm set out to kind of save the world and help the world. In a sense, it's bigger than just getting sales. It's bigger than just saying I have a brain. Like, I'm really connecting with people, and started with something that's literally allowing people to change their lives. And it's really the truth. It's not like a paid advertisement. It's not like a mission to go on here and get people to say things. These are strangers, people that I don't know, literally coming with success stories and stories of how black smoke helped them get, you know, get off cigarettes, stop smoking marijuana. Like, their doctors say they couldn't smoke blah, blah, with certain medications, and they still was doing it and affecting their health. And now they smoke black smoke, and they go and their tests be fine, because even though they still smoking, they don't got the certain things in their body that the cigarettes did. Like, it's all these kind of stories that really make me feel so empowered. It's really, really changing people's lives and saving people's lives. So again, like, it's bigger than just being hookah to me. It's bigger than just being a brain to me. It's literally a movement, you know?
Yeah, and you come from a place, I thank Saleh for giving me the game, but she said, man, he from the West Bank like me. I'm so proud of him. When I was doing my you know, preliminary research, and you coming from a place where it's no joke out there. I mean, it might as well be Iraq and Beirut from the 90s to the 2000s, because it doesn't even have to make sense, the amount of violence that's happening in your city. Some people do, though, get high and take it to another level so they can go do that, whatever dirt they need to do. Have you done any studies yet to like get somebody who's maybe like really in the trenches, really hooked on something hard and say, hey, this helped me, or any testimonials? Do you have that in any official studies? Because, you know, them folks always want us to go, oh, did you get it from the FDA? You mean the FDA that is feeding us trash and junk?
Yeah, correct. But yes, I definitely have official studies, because actually I had my I's dotted and my T's crossed before I even started, because I didn't want to start with something where it's almost like an experiment and I'm putting it out there, and then I have backlash and I don't know the answers to all these questions. Then I'm trying to figure it out. Like, I literally had things figured out before I launched my business. That's why I was working on it so many years behind the scenes. That's why when I definitely put my business on the forefront, I didn't start off as a new business. I had every product that you could think of. I even had my own battery. So this was not like an overnight, 3 month, 1 year type of thing. Like, all kind of things going on. Like, I'm literally in the process of everything being finalized and going through the motions and different stuff with literally FDA too. So I'm saying, this is not like no little small talk and no small cap. Like, I really put my passion, energy, heart, and soul into these things. And I got everything, every piece of paperwork you could think about, every kind of motion you could think about. Like, this is legit. So that's why I feel so strongly about it, so passionate about it. That's why I stand behind my product 1,000%, because I know it's just not word of mouth. This is real people, real results, you know?
Yes. And, you know, you talk about, you know, it's not an overnight success, which once people see you, I know all the Bradleys were hollering at you once they saw, you know, the, oh, man, yeah, I went there. But this is not that show where we just jump on, man, you know. But I know they all hit you up talking about, man, can I get a loan? Can I get this? Talk about, before the brand's even, you know, out there in the public, what schooling, what process did you go? Because if you ask me right now, how do you make a vape pen? I say, I don't know. I'm going to China, you know. So give us the game on the schooling or the education that you had to get here, because I'm sure there was a time nobody knew your name and was like, oh, man, what, you know, Mike Jones.
Was actually very discouraging, and I, honestly, I wouldn't want to discourage nobody for what they might, you know, have hope or dreams are. But the reason why I would say I faced way more challenges than an average person would face, because, again, somebody else, if they want to like probably create a vape or go start a hookah business or whatever the case may be, if you literally doing something where you could just put your name on something, get a label, direct the consumer and get started, that's probably something you could do in 3 months, 6 months to a year. But what I was doing was something I had to get somebody to believe in. I had to convince people that was possible, and I had to literally create it and like literally come up with a formula, get studies, seeing, because I didn't have a blueprint, because I was doing something that has never been done. I was literally creating something. So the challenges are unlimited when it comes to me. Like, and I can't even give you a blueprint and a step-by-step of how I even go, because I literally was all over the place, didn't know what's next, didn't know who to talk to next, didn't know what manufacturer. I went through over 40 suppliers. I got so many no's, so many people saying, are you crazy? Are you insane? What you talking about, fruit? That's not possible, but you can do this. I got something that may be easier. You ain't gonna never be able to do that. So I dealt with a lot. I'm talking about, I'm able to say I literally cried a few nights. I cried a few mornings. I had family members that literally, they didn't mean nothing malicious, but it was like, you show, you know, you want to do that, it's probably just time. Maybe God is showing you need to do something else. Maybe you're broke as hell and you're still trying to believe in this dream. You know? Yeah. So it was definitely a challenge for me, bro.
How do you get over, I don't want to call it, it's not a bitterness, but for lack of better word, when you do get on and people start calling you, when you might have just had, you know, for dinner some toast, some sugar, and maybe you had one egg left, maybe that was your story, maybe it wasn't, but I done had some days, right? How do you get over now everybody, it's all good, and now, oh, you can help us, but if y'all would have just helped me? Because we all know somebody right now who could just lift us up, whether it's, you know, an investment, whether it's somebody could get hired right now from their uncle who's the plumber, but the uncle like, nah, I'm gonna let that boy sweat it out. He got to get it out the mud. Like, how did you get over that mental? Because a lot of people now that we're, you know, we're getting success and we're seeing it on the internet, people are getting real bitter. People are getting depressed, divorced. How do you like manage to stay on a happy, positive, joyful, you know, tone?
You have to, because I look at it like this. I kind of really don't take it personal, and I don't hold things against people, because I'm a true believer that if you know better, you do better. And sometimes we be expecting things from people that they to give to us that they don't even possess within themselves. So if somebody didn't believe in my dream or didn't want to support me or didn't feel like, oh, what he's doing is going to work, I really got to look at their life, look at their circumstances, look at their situations and understand where that come from. That don't probably come from a place of bitterness. That probably don't come from a place of anger. It just comes from something as simple as I don't know. And I'm projecting my fears on you. I have never took that step. I have never took that approach. I have never had no one to support me, so I don't know how to support you. I have never chased my dreams, so I don't know how to give you support for yours. Like, I have never invested in myself, so you invested in yourself to me sounds crazy. I have never seen my dreams come true besides watching somebody else's. So you say you chasing your dreams. You sure you want to do that? So a lot of times it be coming from genuine places of literally nobody taught me this. Nobody gave me this. Nobody instilled these things in me. The moment I'm hearing about this, the moment I'm seeing this is literally from you. So I'm learning with you as you go. And sometimes we fail. Sometimes we let people project their fears on us. Sometimes we get discouraged. And sometimes we are that living proof or that living testimony to the people that didn't believe that. See, I did it, and you too can believe it. So I look at it in a positive note that it has to start somewhere. A lot of us come from the hood. A lot of us come from places where we thought minimum wage was the best we can do. Getting your own car, getting your own apartment and calling it your own and thinking like, I got my own job. I'm getting paid $500,000 a week. I got my own car. I don't need nobody for nothing. That's the mentality that we had. And like, those kind of those generational curses that we are responsible to break day to day. So we almost, just because we get it, it clicked for some of us faster than others. You can't use that and hold that against somebody else, because now you understand and now you want to make a change and they just don't know. We all learn on different paths. And I just feel like we just have to stop holding people accountable for things that they literally had no control over and literally start teaching more so of pointing the finger, if that makes sense.
It makes all the sense in the world, and you giving some game, and I'm going to have you keep giving it. Next question is, how have you learned to say no? Because you got a family, you got a beautiful family, and then you got the people who change your diapers, and everybody needs something. When they see a million, or if they even think a million, right? They say, right. Oh, well, he got something for me. I know he's going to break me off with something. How have you learned to be like, no, I'm not going to do that?
I learned to say no simply for the simple fact that I have a business that I have to grow. My business is rich, but I am broke. It's all about investing. It's all about continuing building. It's all about getting this thing to the next level, the next level, the next level. So if it's anything that I have to give you, or you requested for me to give you, which would put me in a situation where it set me back from what I have to do in this mission and this motive that I wake up and complete to do every single day. If it's something that if I would use to ask me to borrow this and I give you this and you say I'm gonna get it next week, and if I don't get it next week, it's gonna affect me. If I don't get it next month, it's gonna affect me. Then the answer is simply no. Not because I'm being mean, not because I don't want to, it's because I just can't afford to take everything that I have built so far and put it at risk for you. Because at the end of the day, if you calling it me and depending on me, and I got this baby in front of my face, and I have this big old ball of hope and this lightning in a bottle that's right in front of my face, and then you see it constantly growing and constantly building, and I'm literally taking my bricks, taking my foundation and giving it to you, I'm going to find myself like this at a standstill, just constantly climbing instead of exceeding and getting to the top. So I literally can't have people that didn't help to build something, simply can't have people that don't understand the position that I'm in because they haven't been there, allow them to take their fears and their laziness and their entitlement to destroy what I'm literally building. Because it's literally, I'm one in one. I'm a 1% of where we come from. So if I got this power and God gave me this opportunity, how dare I let it be stripped away from me, from the people around me that haven't been blessed with it, haven't possessed the mentality to get to where I'm going. So if I'm going to be the example, that also comes with saying no, because I have a mission ahead of me, you know?
I feel you, but you know, they come back with, but it's only 50. Now that could be $50, 50 cents, or 50,000.
Oh, they most so 50,000, trust me. Yeah, a lot of people ask for money that they don't even make. They ask for money that they have never had. Like, it comes from saying, cuz, do you have $30 a year ago, to cuz, do you have $13,000? That, like, did you even make $13,000 this year, cousin? Be honest with me. You know, can you give me $50,000, $42,000 till I get my income tax? I'm like, who's filing your income tax? Is it Donald Trump? Because if I give you $42,000, how much are you getting paid in your income tax? No, I'm taking my income tax and I'm a flipping. I also been saving, but I just don't want to touch my savings right now. How much you got in your savings? It's a lot, but I just don't want to touch it right now. Well, I think you should go in them savings, because you got that much in your savings. You definitely need a $42,000 from me. Like, people just come with all kind of game. You just got to know better, be able to identify, and, you know, move on from the bull crap.
And y'all listening, y'all ain't got to prove nothing to nobody. If it's no, nope, then it's no. And that's what it is. Because you see Black right here with his hair, and you said, how do I get it like that? Well, first, you got to be on the box of the, you know, the S-curl box. And when they see you on the cover of it, they're going to say, hold on, but can you dip into that pot? I don't want you getting company money. You
know, they ain't know I had Indian in my family, but they know none.
Yeah. And he know what I'm talking about when I say he on the box. You know, if you search hard enough, you'll be able to find it. But he models too, and it's a beautiful thing. Yes. Now, with success, all of us, you know, I don't care, white, Black, Martian, or whatever, we all want to give back. You just did an awesome give back. I always ask people what their give back is or what it is going to be in the future, but I want you to talk about the give back that you just did. I'm going to start it off with to say, he did what he was supposed to do with his first employee, a house. Yeah. A house, y'all. That feeling, I tell you, if you guys can ever buy or even put a down payment for somebody's house and help them out, it's a great feeling. Tell them your give back and just, you know, all the things that you do. And I'm going to go more on it, because you ain't going to brag about yourself. I already know. So I'm going to have to go deeper.
Yeah, I think you're going to kind of have to do that for me, because I really can't do that. When I do those things, I really do it genuinely and do it from the heart. So me just saying, like, I kind of think it's kind of both in the way, but I know you're not telling me to express it in that kind of way, but it's really hard for me to really, really kind of get into it. But I just feel like when it comes to Keisha with the house, she was my very first employee. She had no idea my brand and my business was going to become what it did. I had no idea either. But the fact that when I was first getting started, she quit her job to come help me ship out orders and stuff. This was before I even launched the site. I didn't have no orders. So we didn't even know if I was going to get one order, 100 orders, 1,000 orders. But she quit her job and she was literally there every single day, helped me ship out orders, literally working on weekends, working on holidays, arranging for other people to bring her kids to school, because we had so many orders. She would be sleeping down here, spending two nights at the warehouse. Like, literally, she would slept at the warehouse on an air mattress to get 3 hours of sleep and wake up early in the morning, continue the order. So it's so much that she did, so much that she contributed. So, and still to this day, with all the success of the brand, she still has been driving an hour to work every morning, an hour back home every day, never complaining, always the first one there, always the last one to leave. I would literally just go stop at the warehouse. Everybody supposed to be off. I go turn the key, the door's already turning unlocked. I'm like, what the hell? Somebody left the door unlocked. Keisha's sitting on the computer because she's getting ahead to be ahead of herself for tomorrow, getting orders, getting address corrections. I'm like, why are you even still here? But that's just how committed she is. Somebody called my phone, sorry, so that's why I did.
No,
all right, I'm sorry.
No worries.
But that's just how committed she is. Like, you find somebody that love your business as much as you do. You find somebody that's passionate about your baby as much as you are. You keep those people, because great help is so hard to find, and good people are even harder to find. So Keisha actually earned and deserved everything that she's ever gotten, you know?
Okay, I'm going to stop you, because I don't want you to say her last name, because every entrepreneur is going to be listening, say, Keisha, what? And find her. You know, that's how, she's not an employee. I don't know if you ever heard this from Dave Ramsey, but he said, you don't want employees because they come late, leave early, and steal while they're there. She's a real team member. She's a real team member. Yeah. But I'm even saying for myself, y'all, because I got some sharks on my team who will find Keisha Boo and say, hey. y'all don't take good people. Not that you could, but you know, that's a beautiful thing. You wish you could clone people like that and spread them throughout the world, because right? It's so hard. Yeah.
Absolutely. That's why you gotta cherish, and you know, you take care of the people that take care of you. You gotta show love and gotta show appreciation. Like, a lot of people be like, I don't gotta reward anybody that works for me because I pay you already. And you absolutely right. You're not obligated to do anything. But if it's somebody that you saying you pay them already, but the effort that they give you is more than just the fact that I'm here for a paycheck, you definitely want to reward them in other kind of ways. And it don't gotta be nothing financially, but just it goes a long way to say, hey, I see you. I acknowledge the passion. I acknowledge the love and the support and the dedication that you're giving. And even if it's those words without anything else attached, that goes a long way. Because when anybody wake up and give their all to anything, no matter if you're doing it genuinely, no matter if it's from your soul, no matter if it's your passion, no matter if you love to do it, the biggest reward of being is being acknowledged. We all are feel like little kids trapped in these adult bodies. It's like you did make the honor roll and come with your certificate, like, hey mom, hey dad. So just having somebody paying attention to you goes a long way, you know?
Yeah, and I don't know nothing about the honor roll. I had a 1.9 GPA until I got to college, but I had a fast forwarded.
That makes me feel like I was studying for nothing, because if you could still be here, I should never got on the honor roll.
Man, but you know, I'm also gonna talk about your give back a little more, because I had read, because I'm it's straight up. It's no fluff here. When I heard about the giveaway, I don't give my own kids toys. I don't do any like pagan holidays, but I don't give them toys, but we can take experiences, right? Y'all old now, let's go travel. Let's go to Sweden. Let's go here. Let's go there. Let's go to Africa so you can tap into who you were before we were put in this fishbowl. That's what I give my kids. And you are giving the community like air fryers. And I'm like, see, that's what people need, because that air fryer saved. I was 200 pounds. I'm down to 190, y'all. I'm about to hit 175. Floyd, I'm coming for you. Yeah, Floyd, I'm coming for you if you want to, you know, do something. I just need two rounds. But I like that you were doing that on the give back. So I just want to say, you know, keep giving back things that people can use and eat, because not everybody can afford a good air fryer or an air fryer, period. You know. Can you tell the people, though, and I mentioned it earlier, and I said we come back to it, the smoke aspect, because is this smoke any healthier than the hookah smoke? Because, you know, people will say, but it's still smoke. And I hear people, even with weed smokers, they'll be like, but could you go to edible so that smoke won't hit your lungs? Talk about that and educate us, please.
It's still a healthy alternative to the other things you're smoking, because imagine getting smoke in your lung with also all the toxins and the chemicals that is involved. Now, I would say putting smoke in your lungs at all is never good, but it's a lot of things for us that's not good. Eating meat is not good. So if you're going to do it anyway, instead of fried chicken, eat grilled chicken. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So it's just a healthy alternative. It's not completely healthy to the point where you're saying smoke this and you can cure cancer or something like that, you know what I'm saying? But yes, it's definitely still healthier than the other kind of smoke, because you don't have all the toxins and everything you smoke. So if you're going to smoke it anyway, choose the healthier alternative versus doing the thing that you do that's literally killing you for real. That's what I would say. That's what I would suggest. I mean, so many bad habits, so many things that we do that we shouldn't supposed to do, but we do it anyway because we're just human. And that's just life. And we just like what we like. We're going to do. And everybody's stuck on this motto, which I also stand on, YOLO. You only live once. So enjoy your life. None of us going to live our life walking on eggshells and pins on needles and not doing nothing and not enjoying ourselves. So we're going to enjoy your life. Enjoy it to the fullest of the capacity. But anything you can do to cut back on certain risks and do things a little better than what you normally do, then that's where Black Smoke comes into play.
Yeah, y'all don't be judging the smoke when, you know, every week y'all at Colette's putting all type of things in your mouth. For those who know, they know.
What you know about Colette's now? Come on now.
Man, y'all know, say, but I told you, I just came back from New Orleans and I went to Grambling. Like, Louisiana is my, you know, second, third or whatever home. And so, you know, but I've been put on game. You know, they tell you don't go too far down Bourbon Street. You might run into anything.
Yeah, you got to turn around in the middle of the street, brother.
Yeah, yeah. So no, this is a beautiful thing. Will you have anytime soon a book or a podcast or go more in detail on like how your brain even worked to say, let me put this together? Because again, we don't know. Just you had to do some research, right? Mm-hmm. So any master class or anything, because there's a 14-year-old right now listening to you saying, wow, I could do that, but I don't have a big factory. I don't have any, you know, what we always start what we don't have instead of what we do have. And we got a brain. And if y'all got a prayer, man, y'all better stay on it. Yeah, I went from Colette's to prayer, but that's life. We multifaceted.
That's life. So that's the thing. My brain does work. My brain is totally different. And when it comes to me giving back, like, you know, we could talk about me giving the house. We could talk about me giving $100,000 to the community for the Christmas giveaway. We could talk about all these things. But I know it's like I was just explaining, it's different forms of giving back and giving away versus just spending money, giving money. Knowledge is power these days. And I feel like when it comes to us, there's not enough knowledge. There's not enough power, is not enough resources for us to learn things. So I'm all for the people. So to kind of say something without saying too much, because I actually got a reputation of people never know what's next for me. Like I work so hard behind the scene and I just pop out and people like love that about me. Like I built my community, my platform that way. Like if I will release a new hookah pen flavor, nobody would ever know it's coming. But the day I drop it, I'll be like, it's on the site and people know that about me and they love and they respect that a lot. So I don't never like really like say what I'm working on, what's next, what's coming. But I, like I'm saying, like, I understand knowledge is power. I understand like almost half of the world right now is like, what did he do? How did he do it? Trying to pick my brain. I know I understand what the people asking me. I understand what they wanting from me and expecting from me. So I'm always deliver. So I'm never not working. I got the people real soon.
Okay, so y'all gonna have to stay tuned to his social media and the website and subscribe with them newsletters when people have those things out or blogs. Make sure you tap in. I gotta ask you, because I want them to tap in real soon, but I can't let you go without asking. Africa, I call this an African business podcast. Can Africa get some of this, you know, heat that you have, some of this black smoke? And if so, what countries or what do they need to do to reach out to you and the volumes to say, look, how many do I need to buy to have it shipped over here?
So that's what's crazy. People like South Africa and Dubai and Barbados and like, I mean, every country, everything you could almost think of, Switzerland, everybody been reaching out wanting black smoke. And that's something that I'm open to now. I'm trying to figure it out. It's just that the demand for black smoke is so high that I already can't keep up with it in the US. You know, we got a reputation of always being sold out. So imagine me already being sold out all day. Soon as I drop and I'm already trying to think about ways to distribute to other countries, and I could barely supply from my supply that I have not. So it's just me trying to figure things out and get enough supply so that I'm able to expand and distribute and do these wholesale or whatever the case with all these different countries. So that is my goal and that's my mission. And I'm working on that for the next couple months. So everybody stay tuned, shoot an email, whatever the case may be, because those things are happening very, very soon. I'm really working on that, like as we speak. So yeah, black smoke is really about to be a worldwide brand for real. I know Google called it the biggest hookah brand in the world, but it's about to be one of the biggest brands in the world, minus hookah. So I'm literally about to tap into everything. Black smoke is about to be everywhere, out of the country, and anywhere you can think of, you're going to see. I want shelf place everywhere in the world.
All right, Africa, you heard it. Because, you know, I if you guys need a facilitator, you know, that's what we do. And I bother the young man and say, man, we need how many more pallets? But y'all got to also have your money ready, because you ain't going to get it off, you know, consignment. This ain't that. let the people know any last words and where to find you, you know, and just, you know, I appreciate you giving the game, my brother.
No problem. And that's the thing when it comes to finding me. A lot of people like, we can't find you with stuff like that. But when people write Black Tat and Black Smoke, they spell it like the color black. It's not B-L-A-C-K. There's no C in my name. It's B-L-A-K-K. So Black Tatted and Black Smoke, B-L-A-K-K. And the website is blacksmoke.com, B-L-A-K-K-smoke.com. So that's the first thing first. We're on all social media, all platforms. Black Smoke. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Google, anywhere you want to. We read up, baby.
Man, he's there. You guys are so used to everything else, but I'm gonna recoin something just for this episode. Y'all used to the THC and the this and the that. He got the CBB. You know, he'll know what I'm talking about. Y'all will figure it out. But you guys make sure you check the links in the description. I know most of y'all are listeners. Hey, but kick up the video numbers, whether it's YouTube, Facebook, whatever it is, wherever you see it, Metaverse, we want to be there because this is real game people can share and use. So share the game. Thank y'all. Be blessed.
Have you ever been curious about visiting Africa? Which African country were you interested in? Kenya, Nigeria, Uganda, South Africa, Ethiopia? Which country are you interested in? My good friend, Kellen Cash Coleman, came up with a course called My First Trip to Africa that'll guide you through this process. It's only $20, and in this course, you'll learn about passports, visas, vaccinations that you need before you go there, as well as a budget, how much the trip is gonna cost. He also talks about what you should pack, what you should take with you, how you should travel on a budget. Did you know that $100 is worth 1,000 South African rand and over 10,000 Kenyan shillings? So imagine what you can do with $100 back home. I say back home because I'm from Sudan, I'm African, I already know how it's like. I know that, you know, when you convert Canadian and American money, it goes a long way when you're traveling across Africa. So if you're curious, if Africa is a place that you've always wanted to go, always wanted to move there, Kellen Cash is the person to ask. Check out the course, there's a little preview you can listen to before you actually purchase it. If you're interested in this course, visit www.diversifiedgame.com. Don't miss out.